Oh, where could Tom Scallon be? The man's probably sleeping, it's past 7:30. We got a guest host, Willie Nelson, could it be? His last name is Nelson, but his first name is actually Lee.
Welcome back to, and need your help, right? This is Talking the Walk, hosted by myself, Paul Patterson.
And a guest host, Lee Nelson.
Shoe selling
extraordinaire.
Yeah. This is episode 81, and it has been a really long time since we have been on because schedules have just been like silly as far as not being able to get together. This one's called Micro. We'll talk more about that when we get into the Papa Burger. And so let's get through some introductions, right? Music. Original music, Jake Brown. Original artwork, Bailey Bishop. Social media, new director, and the new accounts. Cole Hopkins is now the director of that. Fact checking, Jill Martin. Marketing, Jeff Raby. And of course, we're way behind, and we're going to hopefully get back on track and stick to this. But it's good to be back. Couple of updates for you. Number one, we are not going to do any feedback tonight. We're just going to roll through and try to get through whatever we can in the amount of time that we have allotted for this. And then two, we've got a few things to get you caught up on. Like, for instance, we are at 10,521 listens. At the same time, Jeff Gravy and Cole Hopkins, we don't have this t-shirt that was promised to us when we got to either 10,000 listens or 100 episodes. And we even took a break to give you a chance to catch up because heaven forbid we get to 10,000 listens and 100 episodes. And still don't have a t-shirt. And so took a break there. You ready for the watch update?
Yeah.
4 months in a row. I already hit June. So March, April, May, and already got June. Crushed. June.
What were they? Don't Die?
June. Well, I would be 100% there too. May was close all three rings, I think, in the month every day. June was I had to hit so many hours minutes of activity. It was like 1500 minutes of activity and I crushed that already. I've been back on getting up and walking, or I walk with Matt Ranthan every day. So back on eating a little better, exercising and not being an absolute pile. I've been much better with that as we go through. So pretty excited about that. Are you ready? Here are the questions. First one, what is the average length of a lifespan for, let's say, a faucet or a shower head? How long should they last when you put them in? And does it depend on how much you pay for them? Like the more you pay, should it last longer?
I know nothing about the cost of faucets. Ours in our kitchen, the last few months has been like kind of running a little bit after we thought we turned it off.
We've been
For about 4 years. So I'm going to go with 4 years.
Okay. We just replaced our garbage disposal and in the kitchen and our faucet in the kitchen. So we moved in 2015. No. Okay. Yeah. 2015, February of 2015, we moved in. So I just thought that was interesting. And then, you know, how long should a shower head last? And I don't know the answer to that, but I'm asking some of you homeowners and some of you fix it people that are a little bit way more handy than I am, which everyone is, you'll be able to maybe help us with that a little bit. Ready for question number two? This one is specific for Lee Nelson. Mm-hmm. Everyone else can join. So let's go all the way back to the Masters. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes argued as the greatest golf championship and golf tournament in the world. Maybe not the toughest course in the world, but still a tough one. I mean, people aren't shooting 35 below under par. If you were to take the whole field from Thursday and Friday, and then the field that's left on Friday and Saturday. Saturday, Sunday. For the 18 holes, and you took the worst score out of every single person that played that hole in those 4 days, 1 through 18, could you be better than that score? Could you go down to Augusta and shoot better than that?
Not a chance. I wouldn't be within 40 shots.
So if the worst score on hole one is a seven, some amateur goes down there and shoots a seven. Oh. And okay, then hole two.
I thought you meant total score.
No. And the worst shot, the worst score on hole two is like a five. Let's say it's a par three and some, I mean, it's a par five.
Two's a par five.
Okay. Sorry for not knowing the specifics. But so if the worst that anybody did was par, could you go through 1 through 18 and keep up with the worst score for every hole from, so if 200, let's say 200 people played and the worst score is a seven on that hole, can you score seven or better on those holes and keep kind of close throughout the 18 holes?
There would definitely be some holes that you'd probably find your way into that mix of, like, I'm not saying you couldn't go to Augusta and make a par on some of those holes.
But remember, you're not necessarily, you are taking the worst score.
Yeah, but it's
from that hole.
If I went to Augusta and I shot 100, I'd probably be pretty happy. And I don't know, I've never played it and I've never even seen it, to be honest with you. I just feel like if I shot, and maybe 100's too much, let's say 90 to 95, I would be pretty happy if I played bogey golf. And that's what I'm saying is, like, I think there's probably some holes out there that I'm going to just blow up on. So I wouldn't be able to.
So are the professionals.
Yeah, but their blow up holes are a lot different than an amateur's blow up hole.
But my point is that you can, out of those 18 holes and all the people that played it, you take the worst score. So if the low, let's say it's a par four and some guy rolls in and that's his blow up hole and he shoots a seven. You have to get a seven on that. You don't think that the odds would be in your favor?
I don't. And I will tell you the biggest reason why: the greens.
Okay.
They run so fast. I think that going out there, you would hit so many putts on some of those holes that I think it would be crazy how many putts you would hit on some of those holes.
So
especially if you hit the ball above the hole.
I'm in your corner saying that you could do it. That's what I'm saying. Do you suppose there's a website out there that tells you the worst score?
Oh,
every hole all the way through. And I don't know. I got it in my head that I think you would be able to do that, because I think we imagine that everybody, so on every par three, everybody gets a three or better. Well, that isn't the case. Somebody's going to chunk that at some point in time during the 4 days.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. So like, if somebody made a double on every hole for 18 holes, you know, I guess that makes sense. I mean, you're right. That probably is something that compete with. If I could play Augusta, that would be awesome.
Now, we just talked about Tiger Woods' course that you played on Monday, last Monday, not 2 days or 3 days ago Monday, but last Monday. What does it take to play Augusta?
Like, to get on the course?
Do you have to be a member?
Yeah. And you better, and if you're not, you probably better have a net worth that starts with the letter B.
Okay.
Because, I mean, it's hard to get tickets to the Masters. I mean, I can't imagine how difficult it would be to try to find your way on there.
Okay.
Yeah.
But imagine security is probably a little tighter than the Legacy.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to, if I could just walk up to the front gate of Augusta and just say I was there, then they would kick me out.
What do you think the odds are? Do you think the odds are better or worse for you to walk up there and say, hey, I do this podcast. This is what's going on as far as this challenge. Is it possible for you to get me in?
That is the most, from what I've heard, the most uptight club in ever. So no, there's not.
Okay. So now, do they even know what a podcast is? The guy that's running the front gate.
Yeah, because he's probably listens to some while he has anything else to do all day.
Is he sitting there checking badges as they come through?
Yes, okay. Exactly.
Anyway,
that's that a good was, question, that was... though. That's a good question. Now that I think about it a little bit more, yeah, you could probably compete with the worst score on each hole.
I mean, you. So think about you. You have, and I don't know how many golfers. Let's say there's 200 golfers, and let's say all
no, 200. Not even close.
Math wise, I need to have, okay, let's say 100 golfers. I just need it better. For math.
Mm-hmm. 100 is better.
You would have 400 scores for each hole on Thursday and Friday.
You'd have 100 scores for each hole if there's 100 golfers.
Sorry, you would have 200 scores for each hole Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, I mean,
and then you would have, you know, 50 per day on Thursday and Friday, or I mean Friday and Saturday and Sunday. Good grief, I got to be able to spit it out.
Yeah, yeah.
So I mean, you're talking for each hole. Let's say it's the there's no cut, and they all. I mean, that'd be 400 scores per hole for the 4 days.
Yeah, I just think once you get on the green, it totally changes. You can say what you want to say, but until you've hit a ball above the pin on those greens, you have no idea.
I'm still saying you can get it done.
Let's get it done. Give me a chance. Give me a chance to get this done.
I don't know how we can get down there. Steggy, maybe. Maybe he could. Maybe his golf world, he might be able to get it done.
Yeah,
maybe. Somehow. Okay, you ready for confessional?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the crazy part is that we are now several weeks after this confessional was originally written. So the first one, it was grad party. Season anxiety, full effect. I struggle with grad parties. And if I were truly in the confessional, I'd tell you about my meltdown that I had at Prairie Meadows last night for the National High School Athletic Coaches Association banquet. I would tell you all about that, but I'm not going to at this point in time. Maybe I'll save that for next week. Second one, had an absolute meltdown getting ready to go to a graduation party here a while back. Just absolutely obese. And as far as trying to fit into my clothes. So as I'm getting ready to get dressed, Christy is getting ready. I am getting ready. And now I'm ready. Okay. So fast forward, I skipped the middle part. Fast forward to the end where she comes out and she's like, "What are you in? This is what I'm wearing. What, but you're just in like a t-shirt and shorts." Like, yeah. She's like, "Why are you in just a t-shirt and shirt? Because nothing else fits. And I'm tired of dealing with it. And so this is what I'm wearing if I'm going to this graduation party. So deal with it." Hello, Melda. Fat Paul did not fit into any of his clothes. So I went t-shirt and shorts the whole grad party season. That's what I was in.
Good for you.
I don't think that's good for me. I think that's very bad when things don't fit. Let me ask you on this one.
Mm-hmm.
This is there is nothing worse for me when I show up to a dentist appointment, had my biannual checkup, and the person that calls my name is not my normal hygienist. The hygienist sub, the sub hygienist, oh my goodness gracious, that does not sit very well with me. Where are you at with that?
Yeah, well, you're really weird about anything that's out of the normal. So I wouldn't care. But you're probably the extreme on your side where you're talking about these meltdowns you had for graduation season. You probably had a meltdown there too. Like you are different than I'm not saying everybody. I know there are a lot of people that are like you. I just don't know a lot of people that are like you.
Okay. I don't know if that's good or bad. I don't know if that's a shot or if that's a compliment, but
that's not a shot. That's just how you, I think you would say the same thing about yourself.
I held it in.
Oh, that's good.
As far as the hygienist thing, I was not very talkative.
Did you just cry when you got back into your truck afterwards?
No, because then it's over and I don't care. Oh. It's the initial, like, God dang it. Why are you here?
Yeah.
And then I have to not be a-hole Paul. I've got to try and be as polite as I can. And I'm not very talkative when.
Yeah.
I don't know you. Well, you know, sometimes I don't talk to people at all.
I know. I don't know you very well. Yeah. I dealt with A-hole Paul for like several months of my first, my first few months in beautiful Norwalk, Iowa.
Very true. Okay. You got any confessionals? You are you hopping in?
I do. I don't know if this is necessarily a confessional, but maybe just
sounds like it.
An update. I am on week 6 of no meat in my diet.
Okay. Like fish? Are you including fish? How about eggs?
I have not had eggs.
Okay.
No.
Cottage cheese? And,
no.
Oh.
Yeah.
All plant-based?
All plant-based. Yeah. So our girls had dance recital, I don't know, early to mid May, whenever that was.
Yep. I remember.
I watched, it was Saturday night. They got done with the recital. It was kind of late. So I just turned on Netflix and I hadn't seen this, but it was a few years old. It was a documentary, if you will, called, I think it was Game Changers. It might've been Game Changer. I'm not exactly sure, but it was basically about a plant-based diet. And this guy was going through all the stuff and he was hitting all these elite athletes or trying to find elite athletes that were like that, which wasn't very relative to me. But then they started talking about the health benefits that people have seen by doing it. And two of them that I can remember are helps with stress and kind of to go along with that, blood pressure. And I think I've had pretty high blood pressure. Basically anytime I've gone to the doctor, I just haven't been old enough where they really cared or seemed very concerned. They just say, well, your blood pressure's kind of high. And I just said, oh yeah, you know, whatever. Plus I don't like going to the doctor, but, so I just decided to do it, dive in and make it happen.
And doing okay.
Mm-hmm. It's tough because I would say the snacking part of your life is basically impossible when you're just plant-based. I don't really know what to do, what to eat. I feel like the meals are fine because I like vegetables a lot. And, but I will tell you, I feel like 100% better.
Okay.
I just That's good feel, to know. I don't feel sluggish after I eat a meal. Where I used to eat lunch and whatever it was, it may not even have been meat all the time. I think it was just more of an overeating kind of a thing where you just feel lethargic and I don't feel like that anymore. So, yeah.
Can I just say, just for the record, that your idea of overeating and my idea of overeating are different.
Yeah. I don't know though. I really like to eat. I really like to eat. I will tell you this, plant-based, you really don't like have that desire to overeat. Like, I don't want to overeat a friggin' black bean burger, you know, yeah. Like, but I think it's kind of opened my eyes to like different things that I can eat and still feel good and still feel full. I don't, it's been kind of fun. So I've done the opposite. I've done the keto diet and I like that too. But you can't have potatoes in a keto diet. And I think the potatoes is a big plus for me with plant-based diet.
I think the hard part with keto is you have to, you're on it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because once you introduce the carbs back, it's hard on the body. So
yeah,
if you're listening and you are, you know, like a Cole Hopkins and you're in the nutrition world, somebody fitness nutrition wise that I would recommend would be Wendy Earlbeck, nutritionist on Twitter. And she does a really good job. And I keep pushing for her people to follow her just from the standpoint that she gives you lots of, if you're an athlete, this is what you should eat. If you're an athlete, here are sample meals. If you're an athlete, here are sample snacks. And it's just, it's different when you're paying attention to all the things you're eating and not cutting so many things out, but lessening what it is that you eat of those.
Mm-hmm. So, and I don't see this as being a permanent thing in my life. Yeah. I just wanted like a hard reset. And then my goal is to just get to the 4th of July. And then I want to reintroduce those things back to into my diet, but just like you said, in moderation, like not every day and not every meal and not ever, you know, whatever. But you know, there's people that like do these things and it gets like culty, you know, it's like CrossFit, you know, if you do CrossFit and don't tell everybody that you do CrossFit, do you actually do CrossFit? Yeah. You know, and I think that's kind of the same stigma with being plant-based. Like if I don't really care, like we went on vacation last week. I cooked all the meals. I still cooked all that stuff for them. I just didn't eat it.
Yeah.
And I don't, it's like, to me, I just wanted to do it for myself. I don't know if there are any health benefits. I've never tested myself before or after. I just feel better when I do it.
Well, obviously that's important, but
that's the whole point.
I would tell you that guy that I had lunch with on Monday, you know, we went out to the clinic portion of the National High School Athletic Coaches Association clinic. And we listened to LeVar Woods talk Monday morning and then we went to lunch. Well, anyway, conversation that we were having was he's been plant-based diet for 7 years. Now he'll eat fish. And I can't remember what else he'll be okay with, but he'll eat that in very, very small amounts. And the reason why he did that was he was diagnosed with, is it heart disease? I think it was heart disease. And his doctor told him that the quickest way to reverse and to get yourself back to where you need to be is plant-based diet.
Yeah. So that
health benefits
that
are there.
Yeah. Documentary talks a lot about the heart benefits, and I'm not a person that's trying to live forever by any means, but I do appreciate feeling better while I am living. I mean, I could die tomorrow and somebody'd say, well, you should eat meat. Yeah, probably.
Yeah. But you felt better.
But it is crazy how much better I feel.
And that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm,
Sure. And I shouldn't say that because you could be on heroin and feel better, but you know that it's really bad for you.
True. So that's a good point.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Anything else in the confessional? That was a good one. And that's truly, that's a confessional. Yeah. We're going to skip feedback. And I apologize to everybody, you know, Brock, Christy, and Neat, and everybody else, Dennis, Run, everybody else that sent in. We are so far removed that. And I think Michelle Flores even sent in what color vehicle gets pooped on the most. I think it was red. I think they did a study on that, but we're so far removed that it'll be tough. So we're going to move forward. So high school sports, not even going to go back and recap the spring. We're going to talk about baseball and softball. Softball for us is absolutely lights out right now, playing
really,
great ball.
Really good.
Yep. I think they're tied at least for the conference, if not all by themselves in the conference lead, I think with DCG. Just playing really good ball right now. And then baseball is, you know, hovering around that 14-11, 15-11 record, you know, and sitting in the middle of the pack of the Little Hawkeye Conference. And then of course we know baseball wise where they're at. They have both Council Bluffs schools. They've got Valley, they've got Roosevelt, and then they have Waukee Northwest. We don't know what the seeding is yet out of those six, but we know that's where we're at.
Yeah. Indianola, pretty solid squads for both. You know, softball, I think we kind of knew it would be a little bit of a rebuild. And I'd say the biggest thing is, you know, every year since I've been in Indianola, we've had a pitcher that is unbelievable. And now we have a pitcher that's a freshman, a couple pitchers that are young. You know, it's just, it's different. And not saying that they aren't going to be really good when they get done, but you know, you have a Division I pitcher and then you have a two-time All-Stater that's now at Northwestern College, like that they changed the game. So now you just kind of have to figure out how to win differently. Baseball team, again, pretty solid. Just the last week or so, just making a bunch of mistakes in the field and a lot of defensive errors. And
you know, second in the Little Hawkeye Conference behind Grinnell,
who kind of gave it to us last night. I think it was like 9-3. They just played better than us, and we just haven't played well for about a week or week and a half or so. So I think every team kind of goes through that throughout the course of a season. Can they rebound from it? Or, you know, the other one is, does it happen at the absolute worst time at the very right. end of the year? You know, like it happens every, they're still high school kids. Like you can't predict what it's going to be like. So hopefully it's maybe just a blip on the radar and we can figure it out. And it should be a pretty fun postseason though, for both teams.
We lost to Valley Baseball tonight, 2-1, 1-2.
Oh, that's good. And 2-1, I would say.
Tomorrow we play Grinnell. So that'll be a tough back-to-back nights there. But the hard part for us when it comes to seeding is we've now lost to Valley. We split with Roosevelt. So I don't know what that's going to do to us as far as who our first round opponent will be. And I don't know who will get the one, if it'll be Valley or Waukee Northwest, the one seed. Probably more Waukee Northwest based on their record. But I don't know. I haven't looked at what their head-to-head is. Who do you have in your – who's your six?
If I was going to guess, Urbandale will be the one.
They're in.
Yep. Ankeny will be the two. Will be the three. Ottumwa will be the four. Des Moines East will be the five. And Des Moines Lincoln will be the six.
Okay, so those are your six. And softball has not announced yet.
Nope.
Yeah. So that's where we're at for high school sports. That's our update. Moving on to our non-sponsor. It's the Maple Leaf Cheese Warehouse and located in, I think it's actually located in Broadhead, Wisconsin. But if you're looking for some good brick cheese out of Southern Wisconsin, give Maple Leaf a call. Check them out on the website and in the old internet, and you can order stuff and they'll ship it to you. Brick cheese is absolutely fantastic from Maple Leaf. Brick cheese. Okay, Papa Burger. Mike Rowe. Why are we talking Mike Rowe? Well, understand that Mike Rowe has been an awful lot of things, but the main thing that I would like for us to focus on is his dirty jobs portion of his career. And the reason why I wanted to do that was I just wanted to have a little conversation about not what is the dirtiest job, but what's the least favorite job and the least glamorous job for each of the high school sports. I don't want to talk about doing laundry or whatever. What's a job that people don't typically want to do that's a little bit tougher to come by, that every once in a while you find that guy or that gal that are willing to do it for 30 years because they just love doing it. So for instance, let's go basketball. Back in the day, I would imagine film was probably not a lot of fun in basketball. When do you start it? When do you stop it? How do you make copies of the VHS? And how do you get it to the point where you're doing your out of bounds plays? And Huddle has probably made that a lot better, is being able to get to that and sort it and do all that stuff. So what is that? Is it stats on the sideline? Is it the person that's keeping track of rebounds and the person that's keeping track of steals? Is it in the college game where you have to mark minutes? You know, how many minutes did this kid, when did this kid check in? When did this kid check out? How many minutes is that? Is it doing the book? Is it doing the announcing? Is it doing the scoreboard? Is it the shot clock? Is it the player clock or the player board? What is it? What do you think?
Well, I have two answers. The first one is like kind of joking, but serious. And I would say this for all sports, it'd be officiating.
Okay.
That would be the sport or the position that nobody wants to do. And I don't blame them, to be completely honest with you. But I would say what you do, I think keeping the book is, and I think what makes it the toughest job is that it really matters. So if you mess up the amount of rebounds, you know, as you're sitting on the sideline doing stats, then somebody can go through the book or somebody go through the film and they can figure out how many rebounds.
Yeah,
but that official score for a basketball game is, besides the officials, the most important person that's at that game. And it's not easy. Like, you have to pay attention. You have to know about the sport. Like, you can't just sit there and say, oh yeah, now I know how to do the book. You have to have some sort of background knowledge. And I would say very similar, like volleyball, the scorekeeper. That was so fast paced, and it's just it's difficult. So
especially rally scoring now.
Yeah, and
every serve is a point.
So when you have somebody that is willing to do those for those sports, the longer you can hold on to them, the better, because it's just really hard to find somebody else that can do it and do it well.
Yeah. Well, and then let's keep going, right? I mean, is wrestling the same thing?
Oh, wrestling has got to be the athletic trainer, right?
Okay.
I mean, cleaning up all that stuff that happens. I mean, I know both of our schools were very blessed to have unbelievable athletic trainers. Shout out Peter and Josh. Like those guys are really good at what they do. And I don't think there's probably a worse arena to do it in than a wrestling, not just wrestling match, but like, think about those tournaments where like there's one or two athletic trainers and there's six mats going and there's blood everywhere and there's this going on. And yeah, I'd say wrestling has got to be the athletic trainer.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. How about track?
Tough. Any job, it's hard. Like they all matter.
Yeah, but what's the toughest one? Is it being the person that's running the computer
timing,
program?
The timing yeah. system. Okay. And that job is not hard, but as soon as the technology doesn't work, everyone's looking at you, or looking your way, and there is nothing you can. I mean, when I was at Norwalk, okay, we hosted the state qualifying track meet, and I was the backup timer. That's what Al wanted me to do. Okay. So, which is fine, because honestly, I'm just starting and stopping basically with the person who wins, right? The timing system goes out. It kind of rained, and I think the rain messed up the camera and the timing system. I was literally hand timing 8 lanes by myself for that meet. And I remember
you have to keep stopping.
So I had one of those big stopwatches that you can just sit there and hit, like, and it will give you all the times. So you cannot possibly stop it that quickly. And I remember Boyce and Ram, like, what was that dude? He ran really good. Good runner. Running back when I was there. Couldn't change directions. Corey Harding. Is that his name?
Corey Harding.
Right. Straight line. And linear. He could just run. And they're like, how did you get that time for him? Because Matt, I am trying to stop the clock for 8 people, not one. That's how I got that time. Well, that lane, you know, at the state, I'm sorry, I can't do anything about it. Like, I am trying to get 8 people's times. I probably screwed all sorts of people over in qualifying for the state meet. So I would say that if you're the backup timer that has to become the primary timer, that would be the worst job at a track.
That's probably why we don't host state qualifying track meets very often. It's because of Lee Nelson. So what is the clerk that bad down there where you have to check everybody in? Is that job bad?
We have a really good clerk here. I think a good clerk makes the track meet just it's easy.
Yeah, but that doesn't just because they do a good job at it doesn't mean that it's not a tough job.
Yeah, no, it's tough. It is much easier if you know exactly what you're doing.
Sure.
You know, it's kind of like the scorekeeper, like to try to teach somebody how to do that. Yeah. That would be, it'd be tough. So yeah, I would say the clerk is very similar to a scorekeeper in those other sports.
How about cross country?
The lead car guy.
The one setting the pace. Essentially,
I mean, if that's what you want to call it,
am I going too fast? Am I going too slow? Too fast, too slow.
So I'm gonna go on the way back machine. I only because I don't know what year it happened. All I know is it was before I got to Indianola. It was when Bernie was the AD, and apparently they hosted the state qualifying cross country meet. And this is when girls and boys ran different distances.
Okay.
And Bernie took them on the wrong path.
Whoops.
On the course. And
boys shorter or girls longer?
I can't remember.
I don't know which
wrong.
One was.
I just know it was wrong. And listen to him talk about it. Even, you know, now that it doesn't really matter, but and it was so long ago, but just the pain in him telling that story when I drive that lead car now. It is the only thing I think about the whole time, like drive the course right. You know, like, but as far as the dirty job would be the vehicle that drives behind the slowest person.
Ooh, okay.
You are sometimes not even moving. You're just picking up bodies that are just laying down on the course. So though I'd say those ones are, at least the lead car to me is fairly stressful, knowing what I know that Bernie did, but as being somebody that's driven the one in the back, that is terrible. Terrible.
So that's the worst one.
I would say so, yeah.
Okay. Okay. How about swimming?
Swimming's like track.
So the timing,
except it's more automated. You know, they touch the touchpad and it tells you. The person probably that has to make sure those things are working throughout the course of the night. And it's so tough with electronic timing in a swimming pool, because there's so many chemicals in there that if you don't take care of that stuff, inevitably, I mean, even if you do take care of it really well, like it just still sits in chemicals all the time. Something's going to go bad at some point.
Is the starter in swimming worse than cross country? Obviously worse than cross country. And then worse than track, because in track, if I fall start and I click and I fire my second shot, I mean, they go what, 20 meters? And then they come back and they get reset and redo it. Whereas swimming, you dive into the pool, mm-hmm. and you got to work on getting out of the pool and get back up and get yourself set. So is that worse when the false start?
The starter for swimming is also the meat official.
Okay.
You know, that makes the call on all those things, you know, like, are you swimming with the right stroke and that kind of thing. So I would say swimming would probably be a little bit more difficult than a track starter. Not that track doesn't, you don't have to do the restarts, you know, and make the call on that. But then once they're gone and they've started fine, there's other people around that have to then make that call, where
sure.
in a swim meet, once they go, that official is walking up and down the
deck. Is there more than one official there for swimming to help that one official?
If we just have a duel, we'll have one official. When we host that Little Hawkeye Conference invite, if you will, we'll hire a second official, and then they'll both just walk opposite sides.
Okay, sure. I mean, I just would think that it'd be easier if you had multiple sets of eyes.
Definitely.
How about soccer? What do we got for the worst job there?
Oh, man, soccer. The announcer.
Okay.
Like if you aren't jacked up about like goals and stuff, I will say, we have a very energetic soccer announcer that does a good job of engaging the crowd. He wasn't able to be there. It was a few years ago now. It was a Saturday morning. We played Carlisle in girls soccer. They have some really nice athletes, and they scored several goals, and I could not commit to that goal call. Like, I just couldn't do it. I felt like an idiot. Plus I didn't know, you know, all the different language that you should use as the announcer, and, you know, goal kick and corner kick and, you know, offsides. I mean, I just basically shut down on pretty much everything, and I would announce substitutes. That was it.
Sure.
So yeah, I'm going to go with announcer on the soccer.
That's okay.
How about you have to be convicted. Golf, I don't know if there's a worse one in golf, because there's really nobody involved. It's kind of like tennis. It's just the coaches and the players.
Okay. So I'm comfortable with that. In tennis, so obviously the same thing. In baseball, softball? Scorebook?
No. Easy, because it's slow.
How about official score from an error versus a hit?
Yeah, nobody cares. The coaches can go back through and change it. Honestly, the official scorebook doesn't matter in baseball, except for like outs. Like the hit error part doesn't matter. That's basically somebody's opinion anyway.
So would you say then that the toughest job then would be the person picking walk-up songs?
If you could do that, yeah, that would be. I mean, it's probably an umpire thing.
Okay.
In baseball, softball, just because especially softball, the proximity to, I'm just thinking about our home arrangement. The softball fans are so much closer to the field than baseball. But it seems to be some of the bigger issues with parents or fans at games is basketball and baseball, softball.
How about football?
The whatever the referee's called that has to be on the visiting team sideline.
So the linesman, because he has to take care of the chain gang.
No, because the visiting people are always more upset than the home people, because that's just how it works at a football game.
Okay. You know who I was going to say? Toughest job is the person running the different play clocks.
Oh, yeah.
Is it a 40-second versus a 25-second?
Yeah. Our guy's so good. Like, I don't even worry about that. They're so good. Like, it probably is more difficult than he makes it look like, but he is really good at it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that I always love to be on the visiting team sideline because they are always so much more upset than the home sideline.
Yeah, unless it's your sophomore parents.
True. I don't want to get roasted on Facebook again. So I'm going to just be,
we are moving on. Outside now, obviously what we could do is we could have a conversation about, you know, all the little behind the scenes things that go on, like being a manager and those things, because those are tough jobs. But that's not what I was talking about. I was talking about jobs that are given to somebody to run on game day or meet day or event day. And what was the toughest? What was the worst one and the most difficult one? And so it sounds like if I were a person who wanted to volunteer, I would do my best to say, hey, I'll volunteer anything, tennis or golf.
Yeah, because there's nothing to volunteer.
Yeah, they're the easiest ones if I want to be.
Although I have volunteered at our home boys golf tournament, and there's a really long walk between holes 1 and 2 at the Indianola Country Club, so I drive them on a cart to hole 2.
So that was nice of you.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. Well, it'd take forever if they had to walk. It is such a long walk.
What kind of cart do you have? Passenger or a 2-passenger?
Sometimes they'll give me one that has the seats on the back. Otherwise, they just stand on the back of a golf cart with their bag on it, and we just drive that way.
That's safe. That sounds safe. Safe. You got anything else for the meat and taters portion?
No, I mean, I think it goes to show that the people we're generally most tough with, the ones that we complain the most about at these events are the ones that literally have the worst job.
Yeah.
So maybe think about that.
Most important in most cases.
Yeah. So like people rag on officials all the time, like knock it off, you know, the basketball, the clock. You know, like, shut up. Like, they'll figure it out. Just relax.
Scoreboard's wrong.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, everybody's willing to dog on those people, but not many people are willing to do what they do.
What I would like for people, I would like Tim Clay to announce, just as a reminder, that the scoreboard actually means nothing.
Yeah, I would love to tell them.
Other than time. I mean, time is important up there. But mm-hmm. but whether the team fouls are correct, whether the bonus is lit up, or whether the arrow for possession is the right way or the score is correct, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. That's all in the official scorebook. The only thing that's not in the official scorebook is the time.
Yes.
Everything else is through the official scorebook. So if the score is wrong, it doesn't matter what it says on the scoreboard. That's for your own image
it's like entertainment purposes.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Okay. Anything else for that?
No.
I thought that was a good one. So now we're going to roll right into the history portion, which is basically, I'm going to further this in the Distinguished Service Award, but the IFCA gives out. IFCA, Iowa Football Coaches Association, gives out a Distinguished Service Award for the people that do those jobs, the micro jobs of each, well, for football. Whether you're an announcer, you're a chain gang guy, or you're a stat guy, or whatever it is that you do, if you are somebody that has, and you're going to be hard pressed to find when we do our awards banquet or awards luncheon now, you're going to be hard pressed to find somebody with less than 30 years of volunteer work that are receiving these awards. And it is just phenomenal to be able to sit there and listen to those guys, and they all get to talk. And I say guys, but it's been all guys so far. And when they stand up, you know, they get introduced, the head coach that nominated them introduces them. And then that person, the award winner, actually gets to speak a little bit. And it's awesome to hear them talk about how grateful they are that they're getting this award and all the different stories and the things that they've heard and seen and been a part of over the years. So that would be the history portion. The IFCA's way, and I'm sure every other coaches association has their, and I don't know what they would call it, but we refer to it as our Distinguished Service Award. A lot of people that put in a lot of time and a lot of years over the time of their life, volunteering and giving their time to programs. Positive, the Ed Thomas Award. We finally had our very first winner of the Ed Thomas Award, which is the IFCA's most prestigious award given to a player, and it's given to one player from each class, and they have to apply to receive it. And then, of course, out of the applications, then it is sent to a committee for each class that those coaches then read those applications, and then they vote on it. And we had our first winner. Grant Kimball was our first Ed Thomas Award winner for Class 4A here in the spring. And I'm pumped up. And now the IFC has changed what they're doing, and they are now giving a plaque not only to the young man that won it, but then also to the school, so the school can post it. And so we have ours in our trophy case, our football trophy case there in the lobby. So it is pretty awesome to be able to get that. And of course, I do believe Ed was murdered in 2009, in the summer of 2009. And their foundation, Ed Thomas Family Foundation, decided that they wanted to do this award in conjunction with the IFCA. And this is the first time we've been fortunate enough to have a winner. So that's what we got. You got anything positive?
I mean, all sorts of positives going on in the world.
Well, let's get one.
Man, that's tough.
I mean, it's selfish, but you could throw the biggest positive here lately would be you playing on Tiger Woods' course.
Yeah, that was cool. That really was. But I don't think, I mean, that was more selfish than positive. I think if I'm going to toot my own horn, I did help.
Yeah, let's do it.
I did help one of our teacher coaches move this week. It was hot. And then I'll call this person his mother-in-law, even though he's not married nor even engaged, but whatever. I was talking to her, and she said that she was going to buy them a Blackstone for a housewarming gift. Oh, cool. She's like, and I'm paying for it to get put together. I was like, oh, that's nice. I said, I put mine together. It's like, was it tough? And I was like, well, I mean, it took some time, but it wasn't like the most difficult thing I've ever done. And kind of left it at that. Well, he called me today and he's like, hey, could you come help me move some furniture? I was like, well, I'm playing golf, but I'll let you know when I get done. So I called him. I was like, hey, do you still need some help? And he said, yeah, but with something else. And I got there and that he bought that freaking Blackstone or got that Blackstone and she didn't get it put together. Lee can help you.
That's not a positive.
It was a positive because it got done. So that's good.
You talked her into making you do it.
I didn't hardly even say anything except that I did my own. She's like, if I was going to pay for something, I'm going to pay for it to get put together. Perfect.
Yeah.
So yeah, I put together the Blackstone today.
So maybe there's a check in the mail coming for you.
I told him, like, you tell her that she owes me big time.
For sure. She does.
There's my positive, my just goodwill to the world.
Okay. Well, thank you. I'm sure everyone in the world is appreciative of what you did. So let's recap, right? Number one, the first one has to be, how long do general household items last, like a faucet or a garbage disposal, things like that. Jazzy Jazz has made the chat. Appearance. What's that?
She has entered the chat.
Yeah, she's here. And then you can answer for Lee if you have enough confidence in him, or you can answer for yourself. Do you think that you could take the worst score for all 18 holes at the Masters and out golf that? My answer for myself, no way. So that's where we're at with that. And then of course, you know, the Mike Rowe, you know, talking about all the jobs that really are down and dirty and nobody really likes to do for the sports. I'm getting that done. And then, you know, the Distinguished Service Award for the IFCA is a pretty cool deal, listening to all the volunteers that have helped that sport, that school, and then the Ed Thomas Award. So that's really where we're at. You know, again, if you've got anything, make sure you let us know. And of course, we've got the new Twitter, and we've got the new Instagram. Make sure you're following those. And that both of them are the same. It is @talk_nthewalk. Go ahead and give those a follow, and then interact with those, because I think Cole is doing a good job of posting the questions that we've got on there. So let us know what you think. And if you've got anything else, make sure you let me know, and we'll go from there. It is June 23rd, 2022, and we are excited to be back, and apologize for the hiatus, but we're back. And I am Paul Patterson signing off. Thanks to everybody listening. And Lee, thanks for joining me.
Absolutely. And I'm guest host Lee Nelson, and we will see you. And I'm the shoe expert or extraordinaire, whatever you want to call it. And we'll see you next week.
Yes. What's up? Okay.
Closing time. Thank you for listening to the Talking the Walk podcast show.